All right, hour number two, it's extra 1360, available via the iHeartRadio app. Coming up later on tonight, here on the radio station, it will be Los Angeles versus Los Angeles, Lakers and Clippers. Lakers are 37-28. They're holding on to that coveted sixth spot in the Western Conference. The Clippers are pretty good. They've already clinched. They're currently the four seed, 44-22. But the Lakers have problems. They have got some problems. There's no doubt about that. Somebody who knows much more about the Lakers' problems than any of us is Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times, who joins us on Extra 1360. He covers the Lakers. Dan, it's Darren. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Darren. I'm happy to see Fernando Tatis back on the baseball field. You know how much that warms my heart every time he's playing.
Well, I was going to start, Dan, by you being one of two White Sox fans that I know on planet Earth. I was going to ask if you have any thoughts on Tony La Russa.
I don't know the rules in which you're referring to, Darren. I'm unfamiliar with this controversy that you speak of. What a stupid thing. And look, it's not just him. There are other guys on the bench, but yeah, like just so perfectly White Sox. It's so bad right now between that and the injuries. It's funny, I was listening to the update, and I hear, you know, the Angels release Albert Pujols. I'm like, can he play left? like I know he was a shortstop once. Can you throw him out there in a corner? That's how dark things are in some ways. For the first place White Sox, too. It's great.
I was going to say, it's not. I mean, the sky can't be falling in Chicago. They're still on top of the standings, aren't they, in the Central?
I mean, their pitching is unbelievable. Their starting pitching has been great. The bullpen management has been super weird, which has been fun with Tony La Russa and kept it interesting. It's just like two of their three most exciting players aren't going to be on the field until like August. And it's just kind of a bummer. Like, that part of it is like, you know, I was watching with my family when Robert got hurt, and we were just kind of like, oh, man, like, this, like, I didn't want to be dramatic, but I'm like, this might ruin my summer.
Not trying to be dramatic, but, man, I mean, I might have to never watch baseball again.
But what's the point of going on? Like, yeah, exactly.
Well, good luck to you. It's a long, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, Dan, but it's a long season. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Can't win a pennant in May, but you can lose one, so that's good. They haven't lost one.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's true anymore. But it's the kind of thing that you're supposed to say. You're obligated to say this time of the season if things aren't going as perfectly as you would like. Dan Wojcicki joining us on Extra 1360. He does cover the Lakers for the LA Times. 37-28. LeBron has missed 20 games. He came back. He had to leave. He's going to be out tonight. He sounds like I don't know that for sure. But what's going on with LeBron James?
Yeah, I mean, he's almost certainly going to be out tomorrow, too, in a huge game in Portland. Like, that would be a big surprise if he were to somehow play in that game, considering kind of what he said, what I've heard. It seems like, you know, he came back too early from that ankle, that he was having some soreness in his recovery, and there was kind of like he couldn't be denied, I suppose. And he came back, he tested it out. It's not like there's time to do this stuff in practice anymore. Nobody practices in the NBA, not this season at least. And you know, with the schedule so compressed, so he tried it out, and he did not pass the test. You know, he made it a game in three quarters, you know, and it's a huge deal, and it's compounded by the fact that Dennis Schroeder is in the COVID protocols, because now they, you know, while it's great that they have Anthony Davis back, and it's great that they have all these options at center, they don't have any guards. They don't have a point guard right now. Can Albert Pujols do that? It is sort of like, that is sort of the issue is, and we talked to Frank Vogel yesterday about it, is like, who's going to get the ball to these guys? And look, I'm a big Alex Caruso fan. I think he's been a very important player to this team. One of the longest tenured Lakers, weirdly enough. This is not a skill or not a strength on his sort of scouting report in playmaking, you know, for other people. And this is a huge stretch for him. He's going to be a free agent this summer, Darren, and if he can prove that he's a capable sort of like point guard, that he can be a guy who can run an offense off the bench, like, I don't know. The Lakers might not be able to afford to keep him. You know, I think he's that value. But, like, this is going to be an audition for him, which is a weird thing to say when we're talking about 8 games, I think, left, and every one of them is going to matter. You don't want to be auditioning a point guard for free agents. That's a bad spot to be in.
Yeah, I mean, especially given how good LeBron was playing in that role as well. But back to LeBron for a second, because, you know, it's interesting, Dan. He comes back, you know, he misses these games, comes back, it doesn't quite work out. Now he's going to miss some time, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. Who knows if this extends, into a third game, which would be against Phoenix, you know, only the best team in the West.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had an interesting line where he said recently, you know, he doesn't feel like he's ever going to be 100%. And, you know, that's a line. It's one of those lines, as you well know, that gets taken and then, you know, it gets processed here into the morning debate shows. And it's just,
sure.
What, I mean, is context provided there? What was the actual context of what LeBron was trying to say about him never being 100% again?
I mean, when I heard him say that, like, I've heard LeBron kind of say, like, the whole, like, you know, it's the NBA, nobody's ever 100%, right? That is, like, I mean, we forget that he, by basketball terms, is an old man, you know? And it's, like, old men get achy. I know this as somebody who is every day becoming more of an old man, you know? And it's, like, and I think, like, my first reaction to it was, like, that is what he is speaking of, that, you know, he's just... It's just part of being in the NBA is that he's always going to be banged up. Then you start to think about it a little bit more, right? And you do start to consider, well, you know, he's been a Laker for three seasons and he's missed big extended chunks twice now. And, you know, maybe last year where he was healthy and was, you know, maybe that's the anomaly moving forward. Maybe this is just sort of part of, you know, that age will catch up to him. And I hate to end up in a LeBron James Instagram hashtag, like, washed king, like, some disrespect. Like, is that meant to be disrespectful or anything like that? It's just a reality. And maybe we're starting to see, you know, these hints of mortality, and maybe that's what he's talking about. It was definitely something that stuck with me that he said. The other thing that stuck with me, Darren, and not to hijack your interview, was that, you know, like, he basically said, like, we're boned if I'm not 100%, which is, you know, not an awesome message. Even no matter how true it is, you know, to send through the locker room. And, you know, I think that, you know, it seemed like Alex Caruso, who we talked to yesterday, was kind of like a guy like, you know, obviously we want LeBron, but I'm a competitor. I think I can win every time I play. And so, yeah, they're in an interesting spot right now as a team.
It's weird that that quote didn't get the same level of run as the 100% thing. We're boned if I'm not 100%. That is just, that's magic there, Dan Wojcik.
It's a little bit of a paraphrase. I think it was something like along the lines of, like, it's not going to matter where we land if I'm not 100%, in reference to seeding. And, like, I think that is true.
Yeah.
I think that's been true all year. But it's, like, usually, like, it's one of those truths you don't say out loud.
Right, because you're spot. Oh yeah, Anthony Davis can carry us, right? Like, we got a great roster around here. You know, that's the sort of stuff. Like, we're supremely confident. Well, obviously it worked because Dylan Hernandez wrote a whole column about how the Lakers are done. So I guess that landed well with Dylan.
Yeah, it was hard to get Dylan to go negative. It wasn't an easy thing. But, like, no, and it's funny. I was talking to Dylan about that story, and I've said this on, you know, radio interviews, TV stuff, like, all year, right? Like, and I still honestly believe it to be true, which is that, like, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are close to being healthy or are healthy, the Lakers can feel like they have a reasonable chance of winning. You know, and that's even if Dennis Schroeder is coming back from, you know, the COVID protocols and who knows how long it takes for him to get right, I still think if those two guys are right, you know, they'll have a decent shot. My belief in the ability to get those two guys right obviously has shifted pretty dramatically. I think Anthony Davis seemingly is turned a corner. And look, I mean, this is sort of the blessing and the curse of playing with LeBron James. It's like, nobody's talking about this. Like, they just gave Anthony Davis, like, all the money in the world, right? To be a max player alongside LeBron. Like, they do need him to carry the team right now. You know, they need to win these games, Darren. They need to, you know, you can't lose three in a row right now. You will fall into the play-in tournament. And, like, I guess we could talk about how big of a deal that is. I kind of go back and forth on it. But, like, this is the whole point of having a second superstar. Look what Brooklyn has done. You know, like, they've been playing without Kevin Durant. They played without Kyrie Irving at times. They played without James Harden at times. Sometimes without two of them. But they still always had that other star who, you know, invariably plays like a star. And they need Anthony Davis to play like a star. They need it against Portland in a massive game, and they're going to need it against Phoenix, too, at least, is my assumption.
But hasn't this always been the knock on Anthony Davis? From the time that he was drafted as the number one overall pick out of Kentucky to New Orleans, this has somewhat always been on him. And I know that there's, again, context that's required That, sure. They were not building a good enough team around him. Nobody can do with it by themselves. But when you are that caliber of player and you do have that kind of talent and they have given you that kind of contract, at some point you can't just hide behind LeBron's not here anymore. You are expected very much to carry the load for the rest of the club.
Yeah, and I think too, right, like I'm not saying that he needs to lead them to go 3-0 in this stretch, right? Like it's more like have a monster game and go 1-2, right? Like that's sort of where the bar is. Mm. And they need big numbers from him. They need production. And his production this year has been not to his standards. Like, you know, he's only had a handful of, like, I don't have the stats in front of me, but, like, a handful of, like, monster games, right? Like, he played well against Denver, even though he missed so many shots in the fourth quarter, easy shots, hit a big one late, had that huge block shot. But it was like, you know, while that fourth quarter was happening, it was, you're not going to win a lot of games scoring 93 points. And he had chances to kind of help elevate that offense. He missed a bunch. And, like, they need him to make those shots because they need his production. They're going to need him around 25, 30, maybe even more, maybe 35 points in a couple of these games. And, look, I know the defense is going to be all focused on him, and I know that he's a smart player, and that has been a thing that he's done. Is if you send a double team, like, he'll make the pass to the right guy and do that. They might just need him to just be the best dude on the court at times. And I think that's kind of one of the things that I'm looking for here over the stretch while LeBron's out is, like, can he elevate to that?
Dan Wojcicki, the LA Times, joining us on Extra 1360. Before, you know, we start talking about Luka Doncic or LeBron or Mark Cuban's thoughts on the play-in tournament, I would like Dan Wojcicki's thoughts on the NBA postseason structure now, where the top six get in 7, 8, 9, 10, 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10, and then winners face off. You get a couple of opportunities to join the big playoff. What are Dan Wojcicki's thoughts on the postseason structure?
So I like it, and I think it's smart. I think the issue is, and I hate to, well, actually, Darren, is that so it's just a little confusing to explain the format, right? So 7 does play 8. The winner of that game becomes the 7th seed, right? Then 9 plays 10. The loser of that game is out. And the winner of that game plays the loser of the 7-8 game for the 8th seed. Does that make sense? It's confusing. It's a lot of numbers. But, like, that's sort of, like, so there's still – that to me is why, in part, like, if the Lakers slip to 7, we're talking about them having to lose twice at Staples Center, you know, with their season on the line, to some combination of the Warriors, Memphis, San Antonio, maybe New Orleans. You know, like, if you can't beat one of those teams once, like, you probably shouldn't be in the playoffs anymore. It's sort of the idea, right? Like, you're not mm-hmm. – if you can't handle that, how are you going to handle Phoenix or Utah or the Clippers or Denver? So I actually like it, and I think the fun aspect, a source of mine in the NBA, and he pointed this out, is, like, the fact that LeBron was so angry about it is, like, proof that it works. Kind of, too, that it should be something that you're afraid of and that you don't want to, and it should push teams to compete in a way instead of just kind of shutting things down and resting players and stuff like it. I like it. The reaction to it has been, I think, fairly predictable because people really don't like change that much.
Well, I wonder if it's that, Dan, or if it's just that this becomes very self-serving because most of the belly aching is coming from players or from executives who are on teams that very well could end up in the play-in tournament, right? Like, nobody's sitting there. Nobody from the Jazz is saying this. You know, nobody from Milwaukee's saying this. It's Dallas. It's LeBron. LeBron went as far as to suggest whoever came up with this should be fired. And he carries a lot of weight. I don't know that he carries that much. But it feels very self. It feels very self-serving because, like, these are the teams that are going to be impacted by it. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I wasn't surprised, obviously, to hear his reaction to it. I wasn't surprised to hear Luka Doncic's or Mark Cuban's reactions to it. Maybe Mark Cuban a little bit, even though, like, he's thinking out for the. I think it's good for business. I thought it was great last year in the bubble. That Portland-Memphis game was a lot of fun. It weirdly put the Lakers at a little bit of a disadvantage last year because it put them a little bit behind scouting. You know, every other team kind of knows who they're playing, and this year it'll be the same. You know, the one and the two seed, if you're the 3 seed, you'll know on a week from Sunday who you're playing. If you're the top seed, you won't know. And you're not going to know for a handful of days. And so you're maybe splitting scouts between two teams, splitting time and energy. It's a little bit of a disadvantage. I don't think it's a massive one. Obviously, didn't bother the Lakers too much last year. But I think it adds intrigue. I like it in baseball. It's even more ridiculous in baseball because you play 162 games and it comes down to a single game. It adds drama. It's entertaining. I think the fact that you've got these people that are involved in it kind of spooked by it is that's proof it works. That's the point.
And I also think, too, for as much as somebody will say, well, you know, 10 teams from each conference is diluting the regular season, that the regular season's already diluted. But the flip side of that, for me, Dan, is that, you know, it does prioritize you finishing in the top six. So, you know, in a way, as much as I would say it's a fair point that it is diluting things and it's keeping more teams involved, which ultimately is good for business and viewership, et cetera. But also it is prioritizing finishing in the top six and saying that those regular season games matter, right? Like, you know, LeBron's right. If they get in, they get in. And if he's healthy, it's a totally different story. But now all of a sudden there's this extra added layer to it where it's not enough to finish seven or eight. Like, they really want to finish top six.
Yeah, I mean, let's just really talk this out about how maybe the play-in can be a good thing for the Lakers. As I'm sitting here, I'm kind of running it through my head, right? Let's say LeBron isn't able to come back to, like, the final three games of the regular season. Right. And like while that week off in between the end of the regular season and the start of playoffs would be so good for his ankle, he does need court time too, right? And he needs time to be on the court and playing and stuff. So two games potentially, you know, where they have to win one against, you know, below average opponents in the Western Conference, because that's what this is, right? There are 15 teams in the conference. These teams are like the best of the worst in a lot of ways. You do that, you get a little momentum. You get an extra game, maybe two games of those guys on the court for continuity purposes. There are worse things in the world for the Lakers right now. Now, look, they don't want to be in a position where they are staring at sort of the mortality of their season and, you know, maybe Steph Curry is walking out of the court on the other side. Like, that's scary, right? You know, it's scary if it's Zion Williamson, like these types of players who can just, like, totally take over a game. Ja Morant to a certain extent, too. But again, you're the Lakers. You're the defending champs. You've got Anthony Davis. You've got LeBron James, assuming, you know, probably in this situation. You should be able to handle it. And like you said, you know, the counterbalance to this is like, don't finish seventh.
Yeah, I mean, think it's, you know,
we're not talking about first. We're talking about seventh.
Right. You know, you finish seventh, you get what you get, frankly, you know.
Yeah.
Last thing, you know, we suffered last summer, those of us who were Knicks fans. We suffered through the final dance, whole, you know, we love Michael Jordan fest. Let's dunk on the Knicks. As a lifelong Chicago and or a Chicago Bulls fan, are you finding yourself rooting for the Knicks with Thibodeau and Derrick Rose? Because that would make me happy to know you were pulling for us.
You know, my hope would be that there would be another player or two there, that, like, if there was a way for the Knicks to, like, re-sign Eddie Robinson, maybe, or, you know, if Eddie Curry can get some backup center minutes, that was never a Tips player. Is Luol Deng. That'd be great. Can Luol Deng play the three? No, it's fun. And I love how predictable Tibbs teams are. I love how good Julius Randle and how tough he's been. And I like that Derrick Rose is so good. One of the strangest NBA careers that's probably ever existed. He'll probably be, the only MVP ever to not make the Hall of Fame. You know, it's just such a fun, like, kind of storm of strangeness. And I like that it's happening kind of in the Nets' shadow, too, which sort of adds, like, it's one of those things, like, the Knicks should never be, like, the plucky underdogs. But they're the plucky underdogs right now. Like, you know, they're the mile and high of the NBA in a lot of ways. And it's really fun to kind of see them just muck up these games. And with their defense and with their toughness and their weirdness, with Tibbs yelling through a mask, you can still hear him screaming ice. It is a nice, fun throwback to me. It's best enjoyed with, like, an Italian sausage or maybe a roast beef sandwich.
A perfect. A hot dog with ketchup, though, only with mustard. And
no ketchup. Yeah,
maybe
no
a pickle
ketchup.
Or whatever it is that people in Chicago put on there. Some deep dish. Dan, appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're carrying the game tonight here on Extra 1360. We appreciate your coverage as always.
All right, enjoy it. Be good.
Thank you. That's Dan Wojcicki, everybody, of the LA Times, who does cover the Lakers and the NBA, who has written a lot about this. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, if you were in that situation, oh, man, why do we have to do this? It's going to be terrible if the Celtics end up in the play-in group and if the Lakers end up in the playoff and Steph. Get over it. you know, I mean, this was pretty well laid out. Everybody knew what this, that what was happening. And I'm with Dan. I mean, if you end up in the 7, 8, 9, 10, then you get what you get. You know, you've sort of created this. You know, you put yourself in that position. You can't go carrying on and being self-serving because you think everybody should be fired just because you end up in that situation. But, you know, man, Lakers and Clippers tonight. You can listen to it here. 6:45 coverage begins on Extra 1360. All right. When we come back, our best bets of the day, they're brought to you by Bala View Casino.